Chapter 6, New York, 1905. The Germans called it Serum Cronkite. The French called it Maladie de Serum. Among English-speaking people, it was called serum sickness, and it had quickly become a serious problem. Children were getting sick soon after their diphtheria antitoxin shots, sick in ways doctors had never seen before. They would sweat profusely and become extremely lethargic, with rashes covering their body. A few days later, the child might experience shivering cold, vomiting, and an itchy eruption on the skin at the injection site. The illness was rarely fatal, but for a child already sick with diphtheria, the thought of subjecting them to additional suffering made injections difficult for parents to stomach. At the time, it was thought that horse blood was a uniquely harmless substance to transfuse into other animals. While the blood of other creatures was known to cause problems when injected, scientists felt certain horse blood was safe for all, likely more a result of scientific optimism more than empirical study. Horses were chosen purely for the prodigious volume of blood they could withstand losing, not for any medically benign attributes. A seemingly trivial discovery shed some much-needed light upon the underpinnings of this new disease. Guinea pigs injected with a tiny amount of horse serum might sometimes exhibit the symptoms of serum sickness, but more often than not, if they were injected a second time with the same substance, the symptoms would dramatically increase to the point death was a more common reaction. Scientists were amazed how seemingly minuscule amounts of horse blood could create such dramatic effects the second time around. If this sounds remarkably like allergy, there's a good reason. It was allergy. At the time, the concept of allergy was unknown to most. Some people experienced the occasional trouble of hay fever, and certainly others had developed problems from multiple bee stings, but up to that point in human history, besides the mercuric powder used in syphilis treatments, foreign material had rarely been purposefully injected into humans by other humans. Because of this, the terms allergy and anaphylaxis didn't exist before 1905. The two words had been recently coined by scientists as they tried to explain the alarming full-body reaction of animals exposed to foreign material more than once. The diphtheria antitoxin was essentially horse blood minus red blood cells, and there was undoubtedly foreign matter being injected into children, not only proteins from the horse's food, but any other microbes they may have harbored. Serum sickness would have become the household name for the allergic reactions children suffered from after diphtheria antitoxin shots. Fortunately, children would likely only need a shot once in their lives. It was hoped the initial diphtheria infection that triggered their illness would confer a lifetime of immunity and they'd never battle the effects of its poisonous exotoxin again, no matter how many times they were infected. The scientific community's initial response was euphoric. Despite the risk associated with the injection, it was assumed the ravages of diphtheria would soon become a thing of the past. Behring's work in developing the antitoxin was so appreciated, a new award was created and given to him as tribute, the world's first Nobel Prize. In Paris, the other Emile had not been idle. Aware of the growing problem of serum sickness, Roux had been experimenting with ways to clean up the diphtheria antitoxin, a process some had begun to call dehorsing. The most promising method involved adding a chemical compound to the horse serum once the red blood cells had been coagulated and siphoned off. The chemical had a special quality few others possessed. It would cling to the invisible antibodies the serum contained, and together they would settle to the bottom of the large glass jars in which they were mixed. With this action, the diphtheria antitoxin precipitate could be filtered from the solution, washed, and marketed as a more purified injection, less likely to cause serum sickness. Although the method wasn't perfect, it did offer a small improvement on the amount of dehorsing laboratories were able to achieve. Roux had tried many different compounds, but was most impressed by the action of an innocuous-looking white powder, sometimes called potash. Its real name was potassium alum, or potassium aluminum sulfate, and it had been used to help purify water for thousands of years. For now, it would help purify the diphtheria antitoxin, making it safer to inject into children. Once it had formed the precipitate and was filtered off, its work was done, safely removed from the injections. Within a few years' time, another use for this compound would be discovered. A utility so amazing, antitoxin manufacturers began purposefully adding it and leaving it in the shots children were to receive.